So this week, inshallah, if I'm not mistaken, we finished the previous chapter of Adab al-Shaykh. And then we'll start the chapter on Insha'u al-Zawaya. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. رؤيه عين الظاهر من الانسان يقال له بصاره ورؤيه عين الباطن يقال له بصيره. That sight from the external eye, a physical eye of an individual or of man, is referred to as vision. And sight from the inner eye is referred to as basira. تسلب بصيرة الإنسان باتباع الشهوات ويعمى القلب قال الله تعالى فإنها لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب التي في الصدور. That inner vision, or this basira, is negated and destroyed by following one's vain desires, and the heart is made blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ. It is not the physical eyes that see, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى, that are blind, sorry. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. So it is not physical vision that is blind, but it is rather the hearts, within the heart, that are blind. قال الإمام النسفي رحمه الله في التفسير تحت هذه الآية. So Imam Nasafi, in his tafsir of this ayah, he states, فَمَا عَمِيَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ عَنِ الْأَبْصَارِ بَلْ قُلُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْاَعْتِبَارِ. It is not their eyes that have become blind from seeing, rather the hearts are blind from consideration. وَلِكُلِّ إِنسَانٍ أَرْبَعُ أَعْيُنٍ. And for every individual, there is four eyes. عَيْنَانِ فِي الرَّأْسِ, two in the head, وَعَيْنَانِ فِي الْقَلْبِ, and two in the heart. فَإِذَا بَصِرَ مَا فِي الْقَلْبِ وَعَمِيَ مَا فِي الرَّأْسِ لَمْ يَضُرُّهُ. And if his heart is able to see, but his physical eyes and are blind, the two eyes in the heart, in the head, لَمْ يَضُرُّهُ, it'll never harm him. وَإِنْ أَبْصَرَ مَا فِي الرَّأْسِ. But if the physical eyes, if what is in the head can see, وَعَمِيَ مَا فِي الْقَلْبِ لَمْ يَنْفَعْهُ, but his heart is, but when the two eyes in the heart are blind, then his physical vision will never be of benefit to him. وَأَلْهَقَ أَنَّ الْأَعْيُنَ اللَّامِعَ لَا تُفِيدُ إِذَا كَانَ الْقَلْبُ أَعْمَى قَالَ الشَّاعِرُ. And the truth is that seeing eyes don't benefit if the heart is blind. The shair says, "Dil bina bhi kar khuda se talab, aankh noor dil ka noor nahi." As'al Allah Ta'ala al-qalb al-basir. That I ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, "Dil bina bhi kar khuda." Say talab, that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also make my heart seeing, given that the light of the eyes is not that of the heart. Zikrullah ta'ala, zikrullahi huwa al-tariyaq al-ladhi yubsiru al-qulub bal yuhyi al-qulub al-maita. That the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is that remedy, it is that ointment or antidote that causes the heart to see. Rather, It even gives life to a heart that is dead. Allahu ta'ala, a'lamu anna allaha yuhyi al-arda ba'da mawtiha. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to the earth after its death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surely made clear and manifest for you His signs, so that you may know. قال الإمام إمام نسفي says in the tafsir of this ayah, قِيلَ هَذَا التَّمْثِيلِ لأثر الذكر في القلوب, that this example is for the effect of that zikr has on the heart. وإنه يحييها كما يحيي الغيث الأرض غيث الأرض, and indeed it gives life to the heart the same way that torrential rain gives life to the earth. وعلم أن البقاء التي يعلم فيها ذكر الله تعالى, تنبيها للقلوب الغافلة, وتنبيها للقلوب الغافلة, يعني الأبصار للقلوب الأعمى, وإهياء للقلوب الميتة, يقال لها زاوية. وسيذكر على شرعية إنشائها أدلة من القرآن والسنة. Know that those places التي يعلم فيها ذكر الله, in which the ذكر of Allah سبحانه وتعالى is the thought, as a reminder for the negligent or heedless heart, as an awakening for the vision of the hearts that have gone blind, and as a rejuvenation and for giving life to the hearts that are dead. Those places are called Zawiya. So in Arabic we call it Zawiya, in Urdu we call it Khanhas. So he will mention now the legal basis for establishing such institutes, adillat min al-Qur'an wa sunnah. So the first sort of page was just setting out one basic principle, and that is that a person has two types of sight, physical sight and inner sight. Physical sight is based on the two physical eyes. Inner sight is based on the vision or the health of the eyes within the heart, or the health of the heart, you could say, in general. And the latter is more important than the former. That's the second principle. And the third principle is that both can go blind. Right? Both the physical eyes can go blind and the heart can go blind. And when the heart goes blind, that's actually a manifestation of something that could be even going on, which is more generalized illness of the heart, such to the point that the heart dies. So a dead heart is of necessity blind, in the same way that a dead body is of necessity not able to see. Now, a heart can be blind and not dead, in the same way that a person can be blind and still alive. But a person who has a dead heart definitely, you know, is going to be blind in that sense. And the way that while a dead person cannot be brought back to life, a dead heart can be. And one of the ways that that's done is through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that can bring a dead heart to life, then it also restores to that heart that basira, that inner vision. And then the fourth principle is that there are places which are established historically in the Ummah, which are designated, dedicated, relegated to teaching the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because this is also something that is taught, and those have been known as zawiyas. Adillatun min al-Qur'an al-Majid. الدليل الأول قال الله تعالى في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له في بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. This is Source An-Nur, that in houses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted that his name be raised. That they be erected, I think. Let me just look at the proper translation here. Which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been permitted to be raised. وَيُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ, and his name is mentioned within them. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا, and he is glorified in these houses. بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ, in the mornings and in the evenings. And this is after Ayat al-Nur. الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح المصباح في سجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. So right after that, then people using comes. So the translator, he actually says, lit is such a light in houses, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had permitted to be raised to honor for the celebration in them of his name. So Mawlana Muhammad Idris Qandalwi, he mentions مناسبة هذه الآية بما قبلها الآن يقول عز وجل من أهل الهداية. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are the people of hidayah? وَأَيْنَ تُوجَدُ هَذَا النُّورُ, أي النُّورُ الْهِدَايَةِ, and where will you find the nur of guidance? فيقول يوجد النور في مساجد وزوايا. And so it is said that you will find this nur in the masjids and also in these khanqas. يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ, that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in them, both in the morning and the eve. إِلَىٰ أَنْ قَالَ, and then he continues on until he says, يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ, دَخَرَ فِيهِ جَمِيعُ الْأَذْكَارُ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ وَالتِّلَاوَةِ وَالْمُرَادِ بِهَذِهِ الْبُيُوتِ مَسَاجِدُ وَالزَّوَايَا. And what's mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has muh, and his name is mentioned in it, then all types of azkar are included in this. From doing tasbih, from doing la ilaha illallah, from reading Quran. And what is meant by the word buyut in this verse, that in houses, that it includes both masajid and these khanqas, same monastery, but that's not a precise translation, so I'll just say khanqa. You just see there is a good word for that. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they have a different word for that. An abbey, cloister, lamasery. Maybe it's a lamasery. No. So we'll just use the word zawaya or zawiya. And it's actually quite so beautiful because, you know, يُسَبِّهُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ. Right after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks. So first it was I'm talking about Ahlul Hidayah and the Nur of Hidayah. And where will you find it? You'll find in these places. And it talks about رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So look at the effect of this and the type of people who exist there, that these are such people that neither business nor trade distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is one of the goals of tasawwuf and tazkiyah, is that a person arrive at that stage where he is in a state of wuquf fi qalbi, that he has a constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. And so it's very munasib. Okay, الدليل الثاني, the second proof, قال الله تعالى الفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. That those poor people that have been أحصروا is to be held back. Let's see if there's a better word for that. So we're talking about Uhsiru, right? Let's see if we can get a better translation of that. Uhsiru. So who are restricted from travel and can about in the land? Restricted is a good word. What's that? الفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله. So they're sort of held back or restricted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way. لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض. They can't go about in the land, you know, for work purposes and for job purposes. قال المفسرون لتوضيح معنى هذه الآية الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله. Those who have been restricted in the path of Allah. هم الذين أحصرهم الجهاد. فمنعهم من التصرف. So those are those people who have been restricted by engaging in jihad. فمنعهم من التصرف, and it has prevented them from engaging in, like, you know, worldly transactions. لا يستطيعون الاشتغال بهم به ضربا في الأرض للكسب. And they have not been able, because they're so busy in jihad, to go out in the earth for earning a livelihood. وقيل هم أصحاب الصفة. And it has also been said, so another opinion is that this is referring to those people who are the أصحاب الصفة. This is the same نصفي. قال الشيخ عبد الحق الحقاني الدهلي أحصروا في سبيل الله. So he states in the explanation of this ayah, مثل كثير من الصحابة, that the similitude is that if many of the Sahaba, that they left their families, والتزموا الحضور في خدمة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they kept to being in the constant presence in the service of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نورت فيوضهم جميعا جميل عالم بعده صلى الله عليه وسلم. And their spiritual light illuminated the entire world after the passing away of Rasulullah. And Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Idris Khandalwi, he says, الَّذِينَ أُخْسِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, those who have been restricted in the path of Allah SWT, أي الَّذِينَ اشْتَغَلُوا فِي خَدْمَةِ الدِّينِ, those people who have become busy in serving the deen, وَتَحْصِيلِ الْعُلُومِ الظَّاهِرِ وَالْبَاطِنَةِ, and acquiring the inner and outer knowledges, the outer and inner knowledges of the deen, يحفظون القرآن الكريم, they memorize the Quran, ويتعلمون علم الدين, they become علماء, ويجاهدون ضد الأعداء الظاهرة والباطنة, and then they strive against both the open external enemies and inner enemies, والمراد من الأعداء الظاهر الكفار, and what is meant by the external enemy are the disbelievers, ومن الأعداء الباطنة, and from those inner, from the inner enemies referred to as the nafs, الأمارة بالسوء, this is the nafs أمارة, لا أبرئ نفسي إن النفس الأمارة بالسوء, as it comes from the Quran. فكما أن الجهاد والقتال للدرب على رقاب الكفار أفضل الإبادات, in the same way that fighting against the necks of the kuffar is the best of the ibadat, in a similar manner, al-mujahadat wal-riyadat afdharul ibadat, that making jihad against one nafs and engaging in spiritual exercises that defeat the nafs are the best of ibadat. Warada fil hadith al-sharif, as it comes in hadith, wal-mujahid man jahada nafsahu, and the mujahid is the one who does jihad against his own self. وقال القاضي ثناء الله الفاني فتي, this is قاضي ثناء الله فاني فتي, he says للفقراء الذين أخسروا في سبيل الله, للفقراء الذين حبسوا في سبيل الله, أي اشتغلوا في تحصيل العلوم الظاهرة والعلوم الباقنة أو في الجهاد, that this refers to those people that they've become, you know, imprisoned or hadiths to not only to restrict, it's like basically to imprison a person, you know. It's another word for that. It's not coming to me. Detain. It's like to keep a person holding, in custody, right? Or hold the person captive. That's the word. Habisu fi sabilillah, who've been held captive in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are those people who have become busy in acquiring the knowledge of the exoteric knowledge of the deen and the esoteric knowledge of the deen. And qala Sayyid Amir Ali fi tafsir مواهب الرحمن, مواهب الرحمن بتفسير نقلا عن رئيس التفسير, it's a sort of cite to رئيس التفسير, قوله للفقراء الذين أخسروا في سبيل الله يدخل فيهم الذين حبسوا أنفسهم في مجلس مراقبة الله تعالى لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض, that included on those are those who have been held themselves captive in sitting in muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض, they're not able to go about in the earth, أي لا يبتعدون من مجالس المراقبه, and they don't, you know, distance themselves from these gatherings of muraqabah, لطلب الرزق والحوائج اللازمة, for seeking risk and their necessary needs, من جهة أن يغلب عليهم الحال, for the reason that they are overtaken by a spiritual state, ويعلوهم ذكر الله تعالى ويستغرقون في مشاهدة مولاهم, that يعلوهم, like يعلو here is not bad. So in that sense, it overcomes them. And يستغرقون في مشاهدة مولاهم, and they're immersed and become drowned in the presence in the مشاهدة of their true مولى, يعني الله. ويطري عليهم الحب, and you know, it comes into their heart, the الحب, extreme love, والعشق, and a tremendous amount of again, I guess, love. فلا يستطيعون الجهد في كسب المعايش, and then they're not able to make, you know, effort in earning a livelihood. So the take home from this second point is that when you talk about للفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله, that this this verse, it just refers to those people who are you know, engaged in jihad, and so they're not able to earn a livelihood. فقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها. What is this? What's before this ayah? Just look it up. The context, because it's talking about charity is for such individuals who are in need, and because they've been held captive or restricted by being in سبيل الله. So this one way is that you can take it as in jihad, but it's actually العبرة الفاز. That we, it has a more general meaning as well. And basically, over here, في سبيل الله includes a person who's engaged in any type of خدمة of the deen, whether it's memorizing the Qur'an, and that prevents them from earning a livelihood, whether a person's becoming alim, that prevents them from livelihood, or a person is engaged in jihad against their own, in rectifying their own self, and in tazkiyah, and that prevents them from earning a livelihood. So then charity is for them. So regardless of which meaning that you take, what's that called? Whatever, regardless of what meaning you take, it does show that this is something which is, you know, condoned by the Qur'an, that these are people are still considered fi sabilillah. And particularly if a person is, you know, has relinquished himself to sit in a zawiyah and spend time in waraqabah for hours and hours and hours, and obviously that's going to cut into a person's livelihood. To take a person what's that called? So if a person does that, they'll not be able to, you know, seek a livelihood and then sadaqah from them. So the take-home point over here is that a person who engages in such type of activity, right, will be, you know, cut off from, you know, earning a livelihood in the same way that, you know, becoming an alim, you know, you save up and then you take some time off to become an alim, or someone supports you, or, you know, you get a sponsor, or you become a hafiz, someone else supports you. At the same time, you know, some person may, you know, take some dedicated time off and take a sabbatical to engage in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such person, you know, when a person does that, then they'll be supported. And at the same time, it shows that a person can do that, and that's going to corroborate it, that there will be some certain institutes or places where a person retreats, where a person can go engage in that type of activity. The other munasabah over there is that while it can refer to the external jihad, that it also refers to the internal jihad, so that there's another sort of munasabah there. Okay, الدليل الثالث قال الله تعالى عز وجل واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. There Allah SWT says that bind yourself over here. Sabar, over here, osbiru, I don't think you translate as do sabar. But let's see how they... and keep thy soul content. Yeah. So basically remain with those who call on their Lord. Call on their Lord in the morning and the evening. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ They seek the face of Allah. وَلَا تَعَدُ عَيْنَكَ عَنْهُمْ And do not turn your eyes away from them. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا Seeking the... what's that called? The glitter of the life. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ وَأَنْذَكِنَا And do not obey anyone whose heart is ghafil from our dhikr. وَاتَّبَأَ هَوَاهُ And he follows his own desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا And that his matter has gone to... فُرُطًا It is like إِفْرَاطٍ and تَفْرِيد. It's gone beyond all bounds and limits. فَأَمْرُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ بِمَجَالِسِهِ وَمُدَارَةِ فُقَرَاءِ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَهْلِ الْقِرْقَةِ لَابِسِي أكسية صوفية مثل أصحاب الصفة أولئك هم المشتغلون في ذكر الله والدعاء غدوا وعيشيا الله سبحانه وتعالى in this ayah he had ordered to sit with بمجالسه that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم should sit with these people right that يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي that they call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and the evening, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعَدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ And don't even turn your eyes away from them. وَمُدَارَاتِ فُقُرَاءِ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ And going about or around, making rounds with the poor from the poor Muslims, right? The فُقُرَاء of the religion of Islam, وَأَهْلِ الْخِرْقَةِ لابسي أكسيتي الصوفية and the people of the خرقة and this is sort of like a technical term because the خرقة is another sort of like a symbolic way that's a term that's used to refer to the صوفية and خرقة is like a piece of cloth and this is something this cloth was something that would have used to be given from generation to generation, from like one teacher to another teacher when he used to give his student ijazah in this field. So the person who has been trained in this line, wearing the clothes of the Sufiya, like the Ashab al-Sufa, and this was a contingent from amongst the Sahaba. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُشْتَغِلُونَ فِي ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ They used to be simply busy in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua morning and evening. وَعِبَادُنَا الْمُخْلَصُونَ كَأَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْكَهْفِ And our, you know, purified slave, and made a sincere slave, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْكَهْفِ As if they are the sleepers of the cave, the people of the cave, and that story is famous. أخرج ابن جرير والطبراني وابن مردوي عن عبد الرحمن بن سعد بن حنيف قال نزلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في بعض بيوته that this is from multiple people it said that this ayah was revealed on رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and he was in some of his houses واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي this particular ayah فخرج يلتمسهم فوجد قوما يذكرون الله تعالى فيهم فائر الرأس وجاف الجلد. So he went out, he's seeking such people. And then he found a people that they were in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hair was disheveled, their skin was dry. ذو الثوب الواحد. They had only one clothing. فلما رآهم جلس. So when he saw him, he sat down. وقال الحمد لله الذي He said, "Allah, that praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ja'ala fi ummati man amarani an asbira nafsi ma'ahum, that he's made amongst my people my ummah, such people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has told me to keep their company and to make myself remain with them. And this comes in Durr al-Manthur, wa fi hadith in akhir, annahu alayhi salam, in another riwayah in Durr al-Manthur, it said, Rasulullah said, he's ma'akum al-mahya wal-mumat, with you is life and death. يعني أنكم رفقائي في الحياة والممات, يعني that you are my friends and my close companions in life and death. وأن ثابت قال كان سلمان في عصابة يذكرون الله تعالى فمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so from ثابت رضي الله there is in a group يذكرون الله that was doing the ذكر of Allah سبحانه وتعالى فمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم passed فكفوا so they stopped فقال لهم ما كنتم تقولون what were you doing قلنا نذكر الله they're saying that we were doing the ذكر of Allah سبحانه وتعالى قال فإني رأيت الرحمة تنزل عليكم أحببت أن أشارككم فيها that I saw that rahmah was descending upon you. So, I mean, this rahmah is also a nur, not different from the visualization we do in our riyadat. Tanzilu alaykum, that is descending upon you. So, and he said, ra'aytu rahmah, that I actually saw this rahmah descending upon you. So it means that when a person, when the salik actually sees nur descending upon the heart, this is not, this has subut. أحببتُ أن أشارككم فيها. I loved and I wanted to join you in it. And it also establishes this and multiple other narrations establishes the legal permissibility of making zikr in a group. In fact, just this morning there was a hadith last night where Rasulullah says, and he was with the Sahaba, he said, is there amongst you a gharib? Is there any, you know, basically anyone from Ahl Kitab or non-Muslim, you know, in, I think it's from the Bani Israel, I think he was referring to, but the Sahaba said no, and then he said, close all the doors. So they close all the doors, and then he said, raise your hands. And so he made them raise their hands, and then he made them say, La ilaha illallah. Either la ilaha illallah or la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And then, so this is something that they did as a group. And then after that, I mean, what was the end effect is that Rasulullah has informed them that غُفِرَ لَكُمْ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ that, you know, whatever sins that you had ever done before have become forgiven for you. So look at the powerful effect of just this kalima. You know, also shows that this is not going to quote, not quote unquote bid'ah to make zikr in a group. In fact, the Sahaba would actually be sitting in a group, you know, making zikr. And nonetheless, than Salman, assuming Al-Farsi was amongst them, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. ومن مثل هذه الروايات استنبطت الصوفية دروة إنشاء الزوايا. So in the same way that Ahlul Sufa existed, so what do you take from this particular verse that that there is a group of people that will be engaged in that type of activity, and they were so maqbool to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually told Rasulullah to go and even keep their company. And we know that they stayed in an ultimate state of, you know, that they were in a state of faqr, and that sort of ties into that in previous verse, right? إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ, you know, الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that those people have been so engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they don't have the ability to go out and earn a livelihood. And if I'm not mistaken, sometimes a person would come and hang in Masjid Nabawi like a bunch of dates, and then they would eat from that, and that would be their, you know, their food. Allah provided from them in whatever way that He provided. And while that's not a path necessarily that would be the path of all the Muslimin, there would be a contingent amongst the Muslims that, you know, that dedicate themselves to this as well. From these narrations and texts and those like them, the Sufis have derived the necessity of establishing zawiyas. يجلي سفيها السالكون يذكرون الله, that the salik sit in them remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما كان أصحاب الصفة يفعلون. The same way that أصحاب الصفة used to do. And even now, if you go to Masjid Nabawi, right, you can see the platform where the Ashab al-Sufa used to sit. When Ibn Abbas, and so when a person actually, if they get an opportunity to go into that place, then a person should actually make munasib dua when they're in that situation, that such people who had relegated themselves, you know, to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to acquiring the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also grants them such a knowledge and such inner purification and such shawq to come close to him and to engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he grants them such type of inhimak in focusing both their ilmi studies, zahiri studies, and their batini studies. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also establish, you know, such institutes where they are. There's many manasib du'as that you can make. وَمِنْ مِثْلِ هَذِهِ الرِّوَايَةِ We already talked about it. كَمَا كَانَ أَصْحَابُ الصُّفَى يَفْعَلُونَ One Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهم From Ibn Abbas is narrated that عَنْهُمَا وَقَفَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى أَصْحَابِ الصُّفَّةِ So Rasulullah says, he came upon the people of Sufa, فَرَآهُمْ وَجُهَدَهُمْ وَطِيبَ قُلُوبِهِمْ So when he stood up, he came upon them and he stood and stopped up at them. He saw their poverty and their striving and the goodness of their hearts. فَقَالَ إِبْشِرُوا يَا أَصْحَابَ الصُّفَّةِ He said, take glad tidings, O people of Sufa. فَمَنْ بَقِيَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي عَلَى النَّعْتِ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ Whosoever shall remain from amongst my ummah on the characteristic that you are on the, you know, characteristic that you have, that you are upon. رَاضِيًا بِمَا فِيهِ They're happy with what is in it. فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ رُفَقَائِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ So then they will be from amongst my closest companions in Jannah. This is Kashf al-Ma'jub. فَهَنِيئًا لِلَّذِينَ يَعِيشُونَ فِي الزَّاوِيَاتِ So, you know, such a great glad tiding. And good comfort be for those people who live in the Zawiyat. وَيُقِيمُونَ فِيهَا كَأَصْحَابِ الصُّفَّةِ الْعَامِلِينَ بِآيَةِ And then stay in it in the same way that Ashab al-Suffa did, acting on the ayah. أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ That those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting and standing, you know, standing and sitting and on their sides. وقوله تعالى واذكر اسم ربك and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وتبتل إليه تبتيلا and relinquish yourself to him a full relinquishing تبتل is like to have full focus in something let's see how they translated it here devote yourself wholeheartedly but it has that connotation of completely immersing yourself. So, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ لِجَمِيعِ جَمْعِيَّةِ الْقُلُوبِ تَدْخُلُ خَاصٌ وَأَثَرٌ عَظِيمٌ فِي إِسْتِلْفَاتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرَعْفَتِهِ وَلِذَلِكَ شَرَعَتِ الصَّلَاةُ بِجَمَاعَةٍ ولا حله يوجه جميع الحجاج إلى الله تعالى على هيئة واحدة في عرصة واحدة عرصة عرفات ولذا أمر مشايخ ألا يحصروا في المجالس مع مثل هؤلاء الطالبين ولا شك أن لجمعية القلوب تدخل خاص وَأَصَرٌ عَظِيمٌ There's no doubt that in gathering of the hearts, like when you do it like with others, there's a special effect and a grand effect in you know, gathering the descension of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming soft with regards to such an individual. وَلِذَلِكَ شَرَعَةٌ And that's the reason why salah has been mandated or ordained to be performed in congregation. So all the hujjaj, they they've faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, you know, in one condition on the outside, in one time, on the occasion of Arafat. So this is another example, right, where when you're in that type of environment and it creates that type of ambiance, it has a tremendous amount of blessings. And so people can leave the plain of Arafat like the day that their mother had born them. So that's why the Masha'ikh have ordered that a person should not slacken in the different gatherings with such people, who are such seekers. So if there's a weekly gathering, you know, if there's those type of gatherings where a person is engaged in dhikr, then a person should really be very assiduous about not missing any of these gatherings. قَالَ الشَّيْخُ كَنْدَلْوِي فِي تَفْسِيرِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ وَجَبَ عَلَى عَالِمِ الشَّرِيعَةِ وَالشَّيْخِ الطَّرِيقَةِ أَنْ يَغْتَنِمْ مَجَالِسَ الْفُرَقَاءِ وَصُحْبَتِهِمْ وَيَأْذَنُ لِلْجَمِيعِ فِي الدُّخُولِ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ. That Sheikh Kandalwi, he says in his tafsir of Wasbir al-Nafsaka, that it is necessary on an alim of the Sharia and a sheikh in tariqa, أَنْ يَغْتَنِمْ مَجَالِسَ الْفُقَرَاءِ وَصُحْبَتِهِمْ, that you should take benefit from the gatherings of the fuqara and their company. وَيَأْذَنُ لِلْجَمِيعِ فِي الدُّخُولِ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ, and you should keep an open permission for people to enter into their majlises, into their gatherings. فَثَبَتَ أَنُّ الْمَقْصُودِ مِنْ إِنْشَاءِ الزَّوَيَاتِ الْعَمَلْ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ. And so what becomes clear from this is that the real purpose and objectives of establishing zawiyat is to do amal on this verse. That wasbir nafsaka ma'a alladhina yad'una rabbahum bil-ghada. If you're going to spend time with those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and night, then there actually has to be a place where those people exist, right? Where there's a group of people who are doing that. And what other place will a person do that except, you know, in a zawiyah? قَالَ قَائِلٌ خُوشَ مَسْجِدْ وَمَدْرَسَى وَخَانْقَاهِ كي دَوَيْبُودْ قِيلْ وَقَالْ مُحَمَّدْ وَنُحَبَّذَ الْمَسْجِدْ وَالْمَدْرَسَى وَزَاوِيَاتْ يَكُونُ فِيهَا قِيلْ وَقَالْ مُحَمَّدْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So how good is the masjid, the madrasa, and the khanqa? In it is only, you know, what was said of the sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning that the hadith are mentioned in there. What else is mentioned over there except the prophetic, you know, inheritance and legacy? So we'll actually stop here for this week, inshallah, and then we'll pick up inshallah next week from here at Dalil Awwal. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.